devil using them. And so I want you to keep that in mind, okay? Jeremiah chapter number 10 tonight. I'm going to read you a verse of scripture and then preach a message that I think will help you tonight. I hope it will. Many years ago, I preached on this subject, and it needs to be preached on a lot. You hear preachers mention it, but I want to preach on it tonight. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse number 25. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 25. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name. For they have eaten up Jacob and devoured him and consumed him and have made his habitation desolate. Now that's an Old Testament words of the prophet Jeremiah asking God to judge the heathen. But I'm going to, without doing any damage to the scripture, I'm going to take out a phrase of it where it said God was going to pour out his fury upon the families. It's odd that it used that word there. As far as I know, it's the only time in the Bible it talks about families praying together. And it says, families that call not on thy name. Families that call not on thy name. And that's the scripture I'd like to use tonight and preach to you about a family calling on the name of the Lord. And this message tonight is going to be about family altar in your home. Something that I can't open the scripture and say, here the Bible says you've got to pray together every night before you go to bed. It don't say that. I cannot open the scripture and say, see there, every morning before your kids leave, you should get them around the kitchen table and have prayer with them. It don't say that. But you know as well as I know, it teaches it from one end to the other. All those scripture from Deuteronomy about letting your kids know the scripture of the morning when they walk by the way, of the evening. If there's anything that book teaches, it teaches that our homes should have prayer and the Word of God in them. So I want to preach to you. The title of the message tonight is The Family That Prays Together Stays Together. And there again, that's a little cliche you see on the front of people's cars and bumper stickers and stuff. And I know there are exceptions to that. I know people say, well, we prayed together for years and we still busted up. And God, and I understand that. But if you really get right down to it, if both husband and wife and kids really pray and submit themselves to God, they ain't going to bust up. Somebody's bucking somewhere. One of them, and you can't always say who it is, and God will straighten all that out at the judgment one of these days. But basically, that's a true statement. The family that prays together stays together. And I want to talk to you about family altar tonight, and I hope that this will help you, because I love y'all, and I love every family in here. And if you are not a regular family altar prayer family, that you will be after this service tonight. I hope that you men, every man in here, will get the burden to become the leader, spiritual leader in your home, and leader of family altar. Family altar, as we know it, consists of basically before you go to bed at night, supper table, morning, after them, sometime when the family's there, is get together, everybody bow heads and hearts before God, maybe some scripture reading, and then prayer together. That's basically what it is. People do it different, however, they feel like the Lord's led them. And this goes for you older couples whose kids are already grown and married. This goes for you younger couples who don't even have any children. You don't have to wait till you have children to have family altar. Every day, the responsibility lies upon the man. If there's not family altar in your home, that man is responsible for it. It's his fault, and he's going to answer for it. Now, if that man won't do it, ladies, you pick up the ball and just do the very best you can for God's glory. And God will bless that. Don't say, well, my husband won't do it, so I'm not going to. You get them kids together, and you get them around the table, and you pray, and you teach them the Word of God the best you can. And ain't no use fussing at him. Just let the old thing sit in there in the living room if he wants to. And God will bust his hide one of these days, one way or the other. But if he's a man, and like he ought to be, he'll get in there and lead his family in family prayer. You say, preacher, I'm shy. Well, suck your thumb while you lead your family in prayer. But do it anyway. Do it anyway. It ain't going to kill you. Amen. That's just an excuse because you're ashamed of the Lord in most cases. Now, you know as well as I know that our families are falling apart across this nation. The devil has turned every gun he's got on your home. I mean, there's an onslaught of hell. The Hollywood, the world's attitude. The world's attitude nowadays is don't even have a marriage. Don't even get married. Don't even bother fooling with it. And everything in the world is against your home tonight. You know that. I know that. And so we need all the strength we can get. Now, I want to talk first of all tonight about hindrances to a family altar. I know a lot of times we have good intentions. And we say, boy, I'm going to lead my family in prayer. And we're going to pray together and glory to God. We're going to have a family altar. And we're going to start, some of you started a year ago and you've done pretty good for a while and you quit. Here's what caused you to quit. There's several hindrances to a family altar. Number one is work and school schedule. You know, sometimes you have the husband's on the second shift, the wife's on the first shift. That means that the wife leaves for work on Monday morning at maybe 15 after 6. Or a wife. And she's gone. She don't get home till 3:30 in the afternoon. Husband leaves at 2:30 going in on the second shift. He don't get home till 11:30 that night. In a situation like that, it's virtually impossible for all the family to get together. I realize there are situations where you have no choice and it has to be that way. But that's not a good idea. And if that is the case in your home, then you ought to make the best out of your situation. And maybe the wife see the kids before they go to school in the morning, or husbands in the evening, or sometime. There needs to be some time when you get those kids together. And so that's a hindrance to a family altar. Our school schedule. You know, you got one kid in the second grade and one in the eighth grade, and one of them, they come in and they got ball practice, and then the other one's got a ball game, and then it's late when the other one gets home. The little one has to done be in the bed. You know how our lives are taken up nowadays with school and sports and activities and work, and one of them getting a job at McDonald's and the other having to stay after school for volleyball, and the other doing this and doing that. I'm telling you, as a man of the house, there needs to be a time that you, as a man, say, hey, let's get that time as much as we can for family altar. My own situation is illustration of this. You know, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, I'll be gone. Now, when that happens, I depend on my wife to get my girls together and pray. And she does, of course. Now, tonight and tomorrow night and Tuesday night, that's my responsibility. If I have to be gone, then it would fall upon her and her responsibility. And what we do is we get together and I go in there and I do this. I say, girls, it's bedtime. Got to go to school in the morning. We'll get them into bed. And before they go to sleep, we'll get in there, whichever room they're at, and we'll get down like this. And I say, all right, girls, let's pray. Some people do it different. Some people, I know one preacher who I stay in his home a lot, and what he does, he gathers all his kids together. He's got three kids about this tall. He gathers them all together and he reads a chapter out of the Bible. And those kids sit there and don't move while that daddy reads a chapter out of the Bible. It can be a psalm or something like that. A whole chapter out of the Bible. Sometimes you might let one of the kids read, or everybody get their Bible. However you feel like, God lays it on your heart or your family altar. I'm telling you, it's going to take it in the day and hour that we're living in. Our school is great, our church is great, but our school and our church will not give your kids everything they need if they're not getting it put in them day by day by day by day in their home. I believe, brother, I believe that's why God raised up the Christian school movement, because the devil is so strong and there's so much of an attack of hell out there tonight that God's given us all of this ammunition, good churches, youth choirs, buses, trips, schools and everything to help our kids get what they need to grow up in a world of sin. If Jesus don't come in the next 10 years, can you imagine? Can you imagine what this world's going to be like if the Lord don't come back, brother? Our kids are going to need every bit of Bible that we can put in their little hearts. I guarantee that. I used to get them down. I get my kids down, and I don't let them do this. Now listen to them. This is important. I go in there, if they're done laying there, they're about half asleep, and you know, they're stretched out there like this, you know, and they got pillars around them and everything, and they're doing this. I say, let's pray, girls. I don't let them pray like this. Oh, God, heavens and earth. I don't let them pray. I don't think you ought to pray laying on your back. I don't think it's wrong. But I think when it's your prayer time, I mean, if a king walked in your room, if a king walked in your room and I said, "What's your request?" Would you there say, "Well, I need a new car, king"? And I, "No, sir, buddy." You'd be down saying, "Oh, king, you know, I can't." You'd be wanting something from him. Now, I pray. I do pray laying on my back after I pray on my knees. I mean, you can lay there and talk to the Lord and all that, and that's okay. But I'm telling you, you find people praying on their knees. You find people praying on flat of their face. You find people praying on their belly. You find people praying standing up. But I don't know the case in the Bible where you find people praying on their back. That's like these healing meetings. You ever seen? I seen Benny Hinn the other night. And I just seen that. He went, whew, about 40 people just fell back. Every time. You say the power of God knocked them down. Every time the power of God ever hit anybody in the Bible, they fell on their face. They fall this way. They don't fall back that way. The people that fell backwards were lost people wanting to crucify Jesus. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. You want the Bible? That's the Bible. It's too cold in here. And I want to tell you what, brother, you hear me this evening? You hear me, ladies and gentlemen? I'm here to tell you it's our job to teach our kids to pray and pray together and stay together. You know what they'd do, the old-timers would do? The old-timers would quit work in the fields early. I mean, they'd plow all day long in them mules and push them in them fields. And you know what they'd do on Wednesday evening? They'd quit early and get the family ready and go to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Oh, listen, they didn't have nothing to put up with what we got to put up with. Their kids wasn't facing nothing. They wasn't no rock and roll back then. They wasn't no HBO back then. There wasn't none of this stuff. There wasn't no MTV till 1980, people. We've got to reinforce it. We've got to drive them stakes down hard. We've got to teach our kids the Word of God better than any generation had if we're going to have a generation after me and you's gone. God have mercy on us to have our kids in family altar. Now let me tell you another hindrance to family altar tonight, and that is arguments. You get in a big fuss. Well, you don't. Yeah, I do. Hush. Well, I don't care. Well, I'm blind. You know how it goes. Of course, none of y'all do that, do you? I know a bunch of you that do. And well, I'll tell you what, you're fussing and fussing and fussing and fussing, then it's time to go to bed. You know, I ain't going to pray with him. So I ain't going to be no hypocrite. Come on, honey, it's time to pray. You kidding? That's what God ain't going to hear our prayers. Forget it. I ain't going to be no hypocrite. Listen, go ahead and be a hypocrite. Not really, but you know what I mean. Go ahead and pray. Hypocrite ought to pray. That'll help him, amen. That's the way to quit being one. Hey, there ain't a person in here, maybe that hadn't had a little, well, I know you don't argue at your house, you're too holy for that. Let's say a spat. Disagreement, something like that. All right, you probably have had a disagreement. And you know how it is, I know how your husband's wives are. Shut up, I got to bed. Hey, honey, you want to talk about it? No! She goes way over here and turns over like this. Wraps up in the cover. See, the devil invented them big king-size beds. Because he's 6 foot between you and her. Used to people would freeze to death at sleep like that. They had to snuggle up and get warm. But I'll tell you what, man. All right, do you want to pray? No, I do my own praying. I'm not praying with you. I wish Brother Danny could see how you act sometimes. Oh yeah, I know how you do. Sure, that's how you do. And I'll tell you what, you know what you do? You ladies ought to have enough grace and God about you, and you men too, to grab that wife by the hand. Here's what you do. Here's how you pray when it's like that. I mean, I've done this, man. Here's the way you do it. You get down and you say, God, you know we're hypocrites. And God, you know we're nothing. We just had an argument. And Lord, I pray that you would help us right now and just face it. See, the devil can't do nothing with you if you'll just face it and be honest about it. I mean, don't get down and say, oh, great God of Jehoshaphat. Ain't no use doing that. I mean, just tell him, Lord, I'm backslid. Help me, oh God. Listen, pray. Arguments will keep you from the kids will storm out of the room. I don't think a kid ought to be allowed. You going to pray with us, honey? No. Go into my room. No, 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 no. I can't believe how some people let their kids act at home. And it's unbelievable. You know what somebody told me the other day? They said, well, you know, when they get 16, there ain't nothing you can do about what they do. Where in the world did that come? That come from hell. Well, that ain't come from the Bible. They ain't nowhere in the Bible where it said they get 16, they can do what they want to. You hear me? And then there's another hindrance to family prayer, and it's when you're tired. You're just tired, wore out. Honey, I forgot to pray the kids. I don't feel like it. You go pray with them. Now, come on now, Dad. Come on, Mama. It's your turn. What kind of a Christian is that? And then another one is just you're just plain backslid. You know that? You just plain backslid. I heard about an old guy who was offered a lot of money, and he tried to lead his family right, and they was going to pay him a whole lot of money if he would take a job doing this and that, and he turned it down because it interfered with his family altar time with his family. He figured praying with his family and instilling the values of the Lord in their heart was more important than an extra paycheck. That's what our generation needs to figure out. And it's true. One of these days, you listen, people, hear me. You hear me? I travel a lot. And oh, the stories. You wouldn't believe the stories. And you know what I found out? Every time I go up north, there's always a well-to-do family living in a $200,000 house, have three or four automobiles, have plenty of money, and their house is hell on earth. They fuss, they cuss, they throw things. They say, I don't know what I'm going to do with that kid. She's driving us crazy. She's rebellious. She's out running around with her boyfriend. Can't get her to come in at night. What in the world are we going to do? And buddy, I found out, I observed a long time ago that it's not worth neglecting your family for a little extra money to buy that nicer house or that bigger car and letting the devil have you home. And then, you figured I'd done mention this, but I'm just going to mention it now. What's another hindrance? What's the biggest number one hindrance to family altar for Christians in America? You say it. One, two, three. TV. You got it, brother. You got it. You know it as well as I know it. You'll set there to your eyes burning out. Got to get glasses, man. And you're sitting there one. Well, 10 more minutes of that good one's going to come on. Some of you tonight, if you added up your TV time and your prayer time for the last week, you'd be extremely embarrassed here tonight, wouldn't you? Amen. We might as well face it. Tonight, that television has cheated us out of our time with our family in prayer. We think family altar can't last over a minute. 1 minute's a long one. 2 minutes. Daddy, when are you going to hush? Kids squirming. Mama punching him. That's, man, you don't have to pray for everybody in the world. You know, ain't that the way it goes? Hurry, get back in there. The late show's coming on. Yeah. Or mom and dad sit in there saying, you kids, now go on to bed. We're going to stay up and watch this. And don't forget to pray. Boy, you're some spiritual leader, mama. Kids go to bed and say, I can't wait till I can get big so I can sit up all night long. Have to go to bed and pray. I'll tell you what. Listen, that is the biggest hindrance to our family altar. Amen? You know how it passes on down? Like Eunice, the grandmother. Lois, the mother. Timothy, the son. That's how it's passed down. Kids do what mom and daddy does. Kids do what mom and daddy do. Time we get them out here in K-4, man, they've already picked up habits, talk, and everything. Like mama and daddy. They learn it. They learn it. They hear it. They learn it. They hear it. By the way, that's why you mamas and daddies ought to be a part of visitation, because when your kids grow up, they're not going to if you don't. And I'm not preaching on that tonight, but I'm telling you, you're setting an example for them. You want them to do it? You do it. All right, number two tonight. Why have a family altar? Number one under number two is to keep your family in touch with God. Amen. Boy, I want my family to keep in touch with God. I heard about a young boy as a teenager. His name was Rodney. He got up late one morning, ate a piece of toast, and rushed out the door. And his daddy was a Christian man. Always prayed with him in the morning. Some people do that. And I think that's a good idea. He said, son, get back in here. He said, Daddy, I'm late for school. Eating a piece of toast, run out the door, and he grabbed his arm. And he said, oh, God, help this boy today to make the right decisions and help him to say no to temptation. And God, and he's just a squirming, you know, trying to get loose, wanting to hurry and get out the door. And his daddy's holding, boy, he could feel that big, strong hand on his arm holding him. And he said when he went out the door on the school, he realized Dad was right. And later on, he said, I'm glad. I'm glad my dad made me stay a few minutes and talk to God before I left. You know what's wrong with our generation? We're so busy, we ain't got time for the Lord no more. With all our modern conveniences, washer, dryer, automatic dishwasher, air conditioner, everything. We still ain't got much time as people used to have 100 years ago before they had all this stuff. Amen. Heard about a little Japanese boy who was in a Christian family. And he came to school one day and they said he hadn't eaten breakfast. And he said, "Why didn't you eat breakfast, son?" He said, "I got up late. I didn't have time." And he said, "I had to read my Bible and pray." Y'all listen to me? He said, in our home, our spiritual food comes before our food for our body. He said, in our home, our body don't eat till our soul does. Some of you parents would think it's child abuse to send your kids out with no breakfast. When you send them out with no Bible and no food for their soul and starve them. That little Japanese boy said, "Didn't have time for breakfast today, had to skip it." Why didn't? "Well, I had to read my Bible and pray, and we didn't have time to eat breakfast." You know, 99% of the homes in America, you know how it'd be? Heck with the Bible, man. Eat your Wheaties. Eat them eggs. Eat them out. And that's why our bodies are so big and our soul is so skinny. All right. The next reason why we have a family altar is to keep the family ties strong. We don't just stay in touch with God. It keeps us close to each other. See, them old hard feelings, that even bitterness and stuff goes away when you have a family altar. Amen? Your husband might have a fuss, have a fight. You know, you got bad feelings. "Oh, I can't stand him." And then you say, "All right, honey, let's pray about this." You get down, grab her hand. She grabs kids' hand. Some people hold hands in a circle, you know, and get down, you know, or however you want to do it. Some people let each one pray and go all the way around the circle. And you get down and say, "Lord, we know we're not much, but we pray you'd help us." About halfway through the prayer, you feel them hands start squeezing each other. And it softens your heart. It's bad to go to bed mad. You won't sleep good. Amen. Like that fella went to bed real hungry, you know. Dreamed he ate a 150-pound marshmallow. He woke up and his pillow was gone. But you'll toss and turn and fight all night if you go to bed mad. Amen. I heard about a fella who, a man and his wife, that had turned to Psalm 78. While I'm telling you this, they had a man and his wife, and they had a bunch of boys. And all the boys went out, and just about all of them went out and got into sin. And you know what they did when they got into sin? About all of them messed up except one. And that one had a picture of his mom and daddy down on their knees praying. And he said he kept looking at that picture, mom and daddy praying, mom and daddy praying. And he said, "That picture kept me clean. Kept me from messing up my life." Keep them family ties strong. Look at Psalm 78 verse 1. "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." That's where you get it. That's where they get it, from mama and daddy. Look at verse 4. "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praise of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done." We got to get it from mom and daddy down to the children. Mom and daddy down to the children. You go into the prisons, ask these men that work in the prisons. Ask these guys that do prison meetings. I'll guarantee you, you take a survey of them, the guys in prison, the big majority of them come from a broken home or what we call a dysfunctional family or whatever. Brother, there's something missing when a kid don't grow up with mom and daddy praying with them reading the Bible. Well, it'll build character in kids. One family had what they call a 5-minute rule. And the 5-minute rule said that they had to be ready for school 5 minutes early and spend that time with the Lord. Read your Bible, pray, sit still, sit down there. 5 minutes. They call it the 5-minute rule. You say, "Brother Danny, we're just so rushed. Why, we're late for school almost every morning." Well, I don't know. You mamas need to, daddy, somebody needs to do something somewhere. Somebody needs to make some changes somewhere. They had the 5-minute rule. And they, mama would pray for us and all the kids, they said. And they said, One mother did that and started praying with her kids every morning, praying with them every morning. Wasn't long until one little kid said, "Mama, it's time for me to get saved." She led that into the Lord. And it's not long until another one will say it. And another one will say it. And another one will say it. Heard about this little old boy that's staying with these big shots and this fancy family.
And he was a Christian, you know, from a Christian family. There's a bunch of heathen, you know, well-to-do, rich people. And they sat down for a big meal, and they just, you know, started. And he said, don't you people pray? And they said, no, we just go ahead and eat our food. He said, you're just like my dog. You just start right in on it and don't even look up and see where it come from. And that's the truth. That's the way a lot of people do. Rush out the door, hop in that car, ride to work, eat your food, and forget to look up to see where it's coming from. Then the last thing I'll say tonight is why I have a family altar. It's because, you know, when you're praying with your family, you're not just teaching them prayers. You can get answers to prayers that you pray in a family altar. Boy, what greater way to build faith in your kids than to let them see things happen that you pray for with a family altar? You say, man, kids, we've been praying about that. And that makes a kid think, glory to God. The Lord heard my prayer. My prayers are important. God does hear me. Amen? Sure. You can keep a little bulletin board. Now let's pray for Grandpa to get better. And let's pray for the missionary. And let's pray for that. And then when you hear the good news, Grandpa got better, check it off. Show your kids. Looky there. We prayed for this and it happened. Don't you know that kid's going to grow up thinking, hey, I remember me and Mama getting down and praying for stuff and God would do it. And your faith goes right on down to them. Never a waste of time. You experience answered prayer. And I don't think, this is my opinion, I don't think you ought to teach kids prayers. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's scriptural. First thing a lot of people teach your kids, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food, by His hands we shall be fed, or something like that. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. That's better than nothing. But kids go up just saying them words, and they don't, their minds, me and mouth. Teach them to talk to the Lord. The Lord said, you know what that is? They call that vain repetition. When it's empty and there's no, you don't even think about what you're saying, you're just repeating words. Like that, Hail Mary, full of grace, Hail Mary, full of grace. That's why the Catholic Church sees them, and them prayers ain't going nowhere. It's just a waste of time. It's got to come from the heart. Now lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord and soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. I said that when I was little. And I thank the Lord. I mean, I learned that prayer, and it's better than nothing. But teach them, mix it up a little bit. Pray a different. Don't say the same prayer with them every night. Teach them to pray. Talk to the Lord about different things. Teach them how to pray. This is one of them things that I preach on that you won't see immediate results by. It may be 15 years. One of these days, I was looking at some of these little ones. Across here a while ago, these little bitty boys and girls across here. Man, there's a mob of them, ain't they? Before we know it, they're going to be up here. And them are going to be down here. And their kids are going to be right here. We got kids singing in this choir right now that wasn't even born when we started this church. And some of them were just little babies. Now they're up here singing. It's moving fast. Put it in them now. Put it in them now. Start tonight. Some of you husbands and wives ought to come to altar. Husbands at least. Maybe wives too. If your husband's not saved, come and do the best you can. And do the best you can. And God will make up the slack and help you and give you extra strength. If your husband's a Christian but he's backslid, do the best you can. Don't fuss at him. Just leave him alone. And do the best you can with the kids. And God will bless you for it. And He'll help you. In closing, I want to say this. How far the holy fragrance of the family altar goes. When childhood days are far behind, the beauty of it glows. Though some things to my memory are indistinct and blurred, I can still hear my Father's voice as He reads the Holy Word. I did not heed its counsel then, nor realize its worth, but now I know that the place to be, the sweetest place on earth. It proved a shield to keep my faith. Unmined through joy and care, the memory of that hallowed place, the place of family prayer. John Patton, the great man, said, for 60 years my family kept it up. Not a day passed without it. Charles Spurgeon said, my mother read the scripture and pled and prayed with us when we was little. Matthew Henry said the same thing. My mother read the scripture and prayed with us when we were little. Some of the greatest men that's ever been. Ladies, you know what your career... All of you talk about nowadays, ladies, want a career. You know what the greatest thing you could possibly do? You got a little boy, little girl. You train that kid to grow up to be a Charles Spurgeon or a Matthew Henry or a D.L. Moody. You couldn't have done nothing greater for this planet Earth. You say, yeah, there's a shortage in secretary. Yeah, I know. It needs to be a whole lot shorter. Raise them kids and teach them to love God. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. All right, our heads are bowed and eyes closed. Now, if you want to come to the altar tonight, we've already got some coming. Couples, come on now. This is for our church. This is for us. Ain't nobody here but us and the Lord and the devil. You come on tonight. Many are coming. Let's go home tonight and let this make a difference. And you say, well, Brother Danny, we tried it and then we missed a couple of nights. And, well, start it back up. And if you miss a night or two, do it again. Husbands, your job. Your job, man. Thank God. Boy, it's good to see all these men coming in here tonight. What a blessing. It's good to see these men crawling around this altar. If you live with a person that's not saved, their situation's not ideal, just do the best you can. God will make up a slack. If you say, my wife won't pray with me. Well, just get down and pray for her and pray by yourself. And God will bless you. God will bless you. Father, do what ought to be done. Help our church, Lord. Help us to have strong homes, strong families. And Lord, bless the family altar. And may it be a sweet place for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.